Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we want to thank you for being with us. Our show each week is brought to you by the law firm of Flesh and Beck Law. You can check them out at fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Always a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh joins us today. How are you, sir?
I'm good. In trial.
Man. Trials are so interesting. I mean, I think each week we could talk about that because every time we get on the topic, we've all seen so many police shows and court shows of what it's like. And I guess there's some things that, yeah, it's like that, but most not. Right.
I wish it was as exciting as, yeah, like Boston Legal. I don't watch many legal shows, but I did like Boston Legal. They always made such good, eloquent opening statements and closing statements, and then win the case. And you can sometimes win a case in opening or closings, but it's generally all about the evidence. And the presentation of evidence, generally speaking, is boring. Except for when you have witnesses that maybe say things that you're not expecting, or the witness is difficult, or it is evidence that's surprising to everybody. That doesn't happen very often. The jury trials, for me, the actual trial itself is super fun.
Right.
I love talking to prospective jurors, doing what's called voir dire, jury selection, and getting to know the jurors a little bit, trying to figure out which juror is going to be good for us or not good for us. Really try to get people talking, and it's just interesting to hear how the community is reacting to things and mm-hmm. talking about it. Because a lot of times you're trying to talk about things that are current because it may affect what you're doing in your case, or you talk about race. If you've got the current trial that I'm in, there's some race aspect to it. It's a pretty significant shooting at a bowling alley, and there's some race issues that are going on. And so the discussion with the jurors about race was interesting, and just to hear what people have to say. And it really, quite frankly, it gives me a good grounding of sort of what, because it's like you have the ability to meet with, in this case, almost 60 or 70 people in a community that's a good cross segment, because they're completely random.
Right. And so how in today's time can people not have their strict views on different things.
That's
right?
The interesting thing. Yeah. I mean, I think you get a pretty good sense of generally how most people that sort of don't, they're not talking heads, they're not spending inordinate amount of times listening. They're going about their days, they're doing the things, they have families, they have work and everything else. And then you get a sense of what they're thinking about. And it's really helpful for me in the practice to do trials, because you do get to see sort of how people are reacting and what people are thinking. Mm-hmm. And how the demographics of a particular region of the Front Range may be different. I think that's the case. Whereas, Boulder we think of as this liberal sort of enclave and doing crazy things, but you get a jury and most of the jurors are older white people because they're the only people that can afford to live in Boulder. Yeah. So those folks, when you get them on a jury, are really pretty conservative, mm-hmm. and especially socially they can be maybe out there, but when you start talking about sex assaults and domestic violence cases and things like that, they become very conservative in their beliefs. And so different than a Denver jury, or different than the jury that I have in Douglas County now. So it's a really interesting process. And the things that we're talking about today, the things you shouldn't do after an accident, it helps me remind me of why we really talk about these things, and we really are trying to make sure our clients that we have now, and also prospective clients, don't do some of the things that affect what jurors are going to think later on. Because at the end of the day, most of our civil trials get settled But they only get settled because we have a good sense of what jurors will do, and that's what the value of the case is at the end of the day. It's not fairness. It's not, oh, I think I should get $1 million. It's not, I see all these TV advertisements of lawyers saying they're getting these 6- and 7-figure settlements, so that's what my case is worth. That's what 6 people are going to decide your case is worth after they hear the evidence. So these topics are super helpful because they really bring home how important it is to plan for a jury trial from the get-go so that you make sure you maximize your recovery.
Right.
Because that's, at the end of the day, you know, I wish our system somehow could get people back in the place that they were at just prior to the accident happening. I wish we had a magic wand that we somehow could get all your injuries healed and get you back and get the car that you loved. I mean, I always have these conversations with people right after the accidents, and they're always upset about the values of their vehicle. Even in today's world where
for sure.
used vehicles are but the insurance companies are still going off of sort of 2019 values when we when they should be really talking about much higher values, but they're not. And so, and people get really tied to their vehicle. They name their cars. They have a relationship with them. And so the vehicle you've had for 20 years that has 25 or 250,000 miles on it that you think is worth $10,000 just isn't. And it's always those things that we help people with, the emotionality as well.
As Kevin said, we're going to go through some things, and we go try to just give you tips in every form we can just to help you, because I tell you, when you're involved in an accident, man, I'm telling you, the mind can play games on you, all that emotion and adrenaline is flowing. So we're going to kind of approach this from today as the things you should never do. And not that any one of these are in particular order, but Kevin, this certainly deserves probably to be number one. You don't ever want to flee a scene.
Right. You never want to leave the scene of an accident. We talk about this a lot in the 10 things to do, which are call the police, make sure a police officer comes out and makes a report. You definitely, no matter what the situation, you want to make sure you stay at the scene. Because if you don't, then it's always presumed that you're at fault or that you have some reason that you've left the scene. And, you know, sometimes you may have real good reason to leave, but you shouldn't, because you want to stick around. That's the most important thing that's going on when these sorts of things happen, and you want to make sure that you get those things taken care of.
Right.
And meet with the authorities, make sure that everyone is on the same page as to what took place, and that you give a good recitation right at the moment about what took place, if you have a good memory of it. If you know, if you have medical treatment, obviously they're going to put you in an ambulance, and if it's a critical thing, get you to the hospital as quickly as possible.
Sure.
But otherwise, there's no reason that you should be leaving the scene.
Have you ever had an incident where a car, you know, they're involved in an accident, the other driver, their cars are drivable, the guy that caused it maybe took off, and the other guy gets back in his car and starts chasing him?
I've had a number of those cases.
I mean, so you don't want to let the guy get away, but
no.
Then you also don't want to put yourself in a lot of danger.
So, yeah, it's very much a judgment call. And I've just finished a case where that happened. So my advice would be that you would want to stay at the scene. If you've got information relating to the other driver,
the tag number,
you know what the vehicle is, then you let the police go out and try to find them and get that taken care of. I'll give you the example of the case that I just finished. My client did exactly that. They followed the person that hit them. They didn't have a whole lot of injuries, so it wasn't a situation where they had concerns physically about themselves. They had some property damage to their vehicle, but it was drivable. Well, it ends up that he gets them to pull over, calls the police, and then the people that were the cause of the action somehow got the police to believe that he was sort of stalking them and doing these other crazy things, and he got charged with the crime as well as them getting charged. So it was just the craziest thing that we had to unravel in the criminal side of the case, and we represented him in that. And then we took care of the personal injury on the other end, saying they were the ones that caused the accident. They had a completely different version of what took place. I think if he would have stayed, had the police show up, do a report there, and then had them chase the other people down, it would have been a completely different scenario.
Right.
So, and the other thing in today's world, the thing that you want to be concerned about is any sort of road rage incident. I mean, the reports recently are like we're top five in sort of road rage incidents in the U.S., along with having the most car thefts in the nation. But
and somebody that generally takes off from an accident after hitting you, it's probably got a reason in their own mind, right?
Correct. I mean, you really want to be careful with all of – I mean, we do a bunch of criminal defense work, so I see a lot of these sorts of cases. And people that are driving away from the scenes are generally under the influence of something. And so that you just don't – you're going to get erratic behavior from that person, and you don't want to get yourself into a situation where you're assaulted or somehow got an additional injuries because of going after them. But at the same time, it all depends on what your situation is and how how comfortable you feel about it. But if you get good information at the scene about what the vehicle is,
extremely valuable.
Yep. If you've got a good, if you've got a good sense in your mind of what the driver looked like, for example, and you've got a license plate number and you know what kind of vehicle it is and the color, then you know immediately get on 911 and have the police do their job and go out and try to find them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Once again, you're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number. And you mentioned this in our first one. Hey, you got to call the police no matter how minor it may seem to
you. You really do, especially when you get the little fender bender and then the person comes up to you right away and says, hey, I'll write you a check. You know, I'll give you some money. Just don't call the police. That's a ding, ding, ding. The reason that they don't want you to do that is because they have some reason that they don't want to have police contact. And that probably means that whatever they do try to offer you is not going to be real value. And they're trying to get away with something. And so you want to have the police called. You want to figure this out. Especially if you talk to the person and they seem a little off in the sense of maybe they're impaired by something. Or they smell of alcohol, for example, right. And you want to make sure. Because many times... you don't have it. We talk about this all the time. Maybe you don't feel real injured at the time of the accident, but in the case of whiplash, you know, normally you really start feeling the implications from it on the third day after the accident, where you may have felt pretty good before then. And so even though you think at the time the adrenaline's going and everything else, I seem to be fine, not a big deal, I don't want to cause any problems for this person, you still need to call the police because it's the right thing to do all the way around. It's just going to make your life easier down the road to have that presence and to make sure that the documentation relating to the accident is taken care of.
Right.
Because we have at least 10 or 15 cases a year where the person, you know, gives insurance that has been expired. They give you the regular declaration page or the, you know, proof of insurance card, and they, you know, it showed 6 months of coverage, but they paid the first month and then stopped paying it after that, and it's not good. And so, especially in the case where you have some concerns about that, if they get cited for something, careless driving, you know, improper left turn, whatever, they'll have to show up to court. And if we find out in the interim before, after the accident, before that court appearance, that the insurance is no good, we can also go to those municipalities or the county to say, hey, the insurance that they gave us wasn't accurate. District attorney or city attorney, cite them for no proof of insurance and see if we can get other insurance as well.
Right. And so by not calling the police, that leads right into what Kevin's just talking about, the documentation. So do not neglect proper documentation. And, of course, this is taken on account that you're okay and that, you know, you're not in the back of an ambulance or something. But nowadays, no excuses with our phones doing what they do. And, you know, and you've said this before, too, you know, take pictures of things. Don't try to take a pen and paper and write down a bunch of information because you're going to mess up numbers and all that.
Yes.
Take pictures of their insurance stuff. Take pictures of them.
Yes. And take pictures of the occupants of the car. Take pictures of the, you know, the vehicle identification number. You can normally get it off the front windshield right there or off of a door. Get that information. Take a picture of the license plate. You know, take a picture of the car in general. Take a picture around the scene, making sure you don't move your vehicles. You know, I know a lot of times people will want to move the vehicles to another location. And obviously you have to do that so that you keep yourself safe. But it's definitely one of those things where you just never know what you're going to need down the road. So if you can harvest whatever you can harvest at the scene of the accident, it's going to be better for you down the road. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be of benefit to us in creating the demand later to have that. I mean, you'd be amazed on how many, you know, claim reps. Generally speaking, the frontline claim adjuster for insurance company is going to be an individual between 25 and 40 anymore. And they've grown up with everything is visual. Mm-hmm. And so as much as people maybe don't want to do that sort of work right after an accident occurs, it's so beneficial down the road.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people that you're going to be trying to impress. And a picture is very much different than explaining what took place.
Yeah.
It just is.
And years ago, you've said this many times, mm-hmm. years ago, that would have seemed weird. You're
right.
Sending me pictures of you slipping and falling yeah. or whatever. But now it's expected.
It is completely expected. And in fact, starting next year, if police don't use their body cam, you know, if they don't have their body camera on, it's going to be, and they haven't provided it in the sense of a criminal case mm-hmm. and criminal defense, it's going to be presumed to not have happened, that they won't be able to testify about it, that it'll be assumed that because their body camera wasn't on, that they were doing something improper. I mean, that is the statute that our legislature has put in place. And so that's sort of the mindset of a lot of folks that are younger than the age of 45, is that if you don't have it documented somehow in a video format or a picture, mm-hmm. that they probably won't believe it, which is completely different than 25
sure.
years ago when I first started practicing. But that is what the situation is today, which just tells us that we just need to do whatever you can to document those things. Another good example is, you know, a slip and fall. You want to get a hold of us right away because we'll want to try to get a hold of that commercial entity because they mm-hmm. probably have video cameras. And if we can get that video footage right away, it's a lot of times determinative of liability. And so if it is what you say it is, we have no worries about it.
Right.
We need to harvest that right away because maybe they'll only keep it for 30 days.
Sure.
So if you wait 30, 45 days before talking to us, that evidence is gone. So those are the sorts of things that you'll want to document right away. The other thing you want to make sure of is to get good information relating to the identity of someone. You know, find out not only their name, but maybe a phone number, maybe where they live, you know, any sort of address. Anything that would help us try to locate the folks, because half the time, especially in significant accidents, the police don't do a great job of getting all of the witness information. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes up to you at the time of the accident, sees that you're stable, says, hey, I saw the whole thing, and gives you a card, make sure you keep that card so that we can get in contact with
sure.
them, you know, something like that. Because that's happened numerous times where those witnesses are critical for the evaluation of what took place. I just settled a case this week where my client was actually cited for turning left in front of an oncoming car. The reason that we were able to settle it is because there was a third-party witness that said the person that was going straight, that had the right of way, mm-hmm. was, in their estimation, going at least 40 miles an hour over the speed limit. So almost double the speed limit when my person turned left. And had they gone the regular speed limit, it wouldn't have been an issue. And when my client saw them, they thought they had plenty of space. But they didn't realize they were going double the speed limit. And so we provided that evidence to the insurance company, and they tendered their limits for the person that was at fault, even though theoretically my person had turned left right in front of them.
I mean, and this is what I always tell people, you know, when I get calls after they hear our show or people have an accident, I always tell them, hey, it's a free call.
Yeah.
You know, it may look bad for you right now,
right.
but at least call and explain
yeah.
what happened.
Yeah, and you don't know, but we have to talk through it. We
right.
certainly have to work, and those are cases that you have to work a little harder
mm-hmm.
on. But there is a result that I was like, that's what should have happened. But had we not done the work that we needed to do, had
right.
we not gotten a good recorded statement from this third-party witness and presented that to the insurance company, they were going to deny the claim,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, no, our insured, he had the right-of-way. Yeah, but he was going 80
miles
an hour.
An hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was, you know, it was classic sort of situation. He hit my client. And I knew there was an issue right away because he hit my client, careened, and it was a four lane, so two lanes going northbound and two lanes going southbound. So big roadway.
Okay.
He hit my client. My client was almost through the roadway when he hit him. He careened off of my client, went through a big fence and into somebody's backyard 130 feet away.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as I saw the traffic accident report, and I was like, holy cow.
He was traveling.
He was moving. You know, and we immediately, just because of our experience with these sorts of cases, I was like, he was going a lot faster than 45 miles an hour when he hit my client. And you'd normally think person seeing that would hit their brakes, so they would be going maybe 30. And so he would have still been in the roadway. But when I saw he traveled that far, I was like, we've got physical evidence here that would indicate what my client was saying, which was he was moving. And so that's, you know, and they couldn't get any other lawyers to do it because he got cited and he's turning left. It sounded like, and, you know, and we've just been able to really help them. And those are the sorts of situations that are fun because it's a clear adding of value with their help.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. This is a tough one because I think sometimes it may be easy to say, gosh, I'm so sorry. If you walk up to someone that maybe you got into an accident with and you saying I'm sorry is basically saying it was my fault.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
You really don't. I mean, I understand you want to be compassionate and you want to let the person know that you feel their pain, especially in the case where you know you're at fault for the accident. But you really want to get... You want to minimize your statements in that situation because you want to make sure you have as many options as possible down the road. And so this is less about, although the example that I just gave you, or my client, you know, at the scene could have said, yes, I turned left in front of him. It probably was my fault. That would have been really damning for us. Mm-hmm. He didn't because he was really upset because he was like, I think the other guy was going way too fast. And he was good about making that statement. But even in any of those situations where you feel bad, because most people do. I mean, you get into a situation and you most people will take responsibility where they need to. But in these sorts of situations, when you have an accident on the roadway, it's best to say as little as possible. And if you are going to say something, be empathetic with I'm sorry. You don't want to say I'm sorry for your injuries, but you want to say I hope you'll be okay. You know, we'll get help for you. Be as empathetic as possible, but don't try to make statements that may implicate you later. Let the police officers do their investigation and make their own determination about things and put together their own reports. But that way you'll give yourself enough options as to how it goes and what things go. And the other thing is you never know. You know, your perception of your fault may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've had those situations, too, where people are like, it could have been me. And then we get a dash cam video where it's not, or we get some other video evidence where it's like, no, I don't think you were at fault.
Right.
Or we get people that just don't remember and they take responsibility for something that they don't have to.
And when it's multiple vehicles, man, that's a mess.
It's really a mess. Yeah. The multiple vehicle on the highways are really hard cases. Because everybody is pointing fingers at somebody else generally. And it's almost 100% of the time, it turns out that the person that we think at the beginning is at fault may not be. Or they're, you know, remember in Colorado, we've got the concept of contributory negligence. And so with those multiple vehicles, there may be multiple vehicles that have a percentage of fault. And there may be vehicles that have very little fault. And so it just takes some time to figure all of that out after the investigation is done. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to be making statements that seem to be damning to you when it may not be all of your fault. You know, many times, and there's a jury instruction on this relating to rear-ending of vehicles, that you're presumed to be at fault if you rear-end somebody. That's always not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to do the investigation and figure it out and make some determinations relating to that. And that's where we help people with those sorts of situations, whether they've been charged with a crime like careless driving causing injury or death or things like that, or it's where, you know, you may be the injured party. Again, it's something that we just need to develop over time after you get past the accident itself and you get all of the evidence put together and figure things out. Because normally the physical evidence will corroborate what actually took place, and it may be different than what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it never helps because the insurance company will put it on a big placard in front of a jury. You know, the I'm sorry is they admitted fault right
exactly.
there. So
yeah,
you got to be careful.
Once again, you're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch. As we said earlier, it's always a free consultation on any legal matter. You can just give them a call, 303-806-8886. And this is something that's hard because, again, we talk about the adrenaline and you know, unless you're bleeding or something, sometimes it's easy to get out and just think, hey, I'm okay. You know, and people start walking up to you and they go, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And, you know, the person that got involved with an accident. And even when the police show up, you know, hey, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And hey, I'll say this several years back, you know, we did a show. I hope I'm not putting a hex on myself again,
right?
But we did a
exactly.
show similar to this, and folks, I'm just being very transparent with you. I got into an act. This lady just ran in the back of my truck on I-25. I mean, 30 minutes after we finished a show like this, and I'm telling you, after doing this show for over 10 years with Kevin, still in my mind, when it came to a little box on the thing, the cop wanted me to fill out, are you injured? I'm like, I called Kevin from the side of the road. I go, what do I put? And he goes, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And I was injured, you know, and I did have some treatments and neck injuries and things like that. So here's what I'm saying. All these tips we try to give you are just things just to help you. And never are we talking about being dishonest or not, you know, lying about things.
Right.
There's just, as you say, Kevin, just you don't say, I say as little as you have to.
Correct.
Because it's just going to work out better for
you. Yeah, and quite frankly, the police are trained that the only time that they actually think there are injuries, if someone's near death, they're mm-hmm. bleeding out, where it's clear that there's significant injuries. Otherwise, there's no injuries. I mean, right. a soft tissue whiplash, sort of you're walking around, you seem to be fine.
Yeah.
They're going to say no injury every time. And the insurance companies love that because they'll be like, they'll get the traffic accident report, even though you were injured. And they'll say, well, the officer said there were no injuries in the accident. And so what people need to do when the officers ask you whether or not you're injured, you just need to say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in an ambulance, they'll obviously say that there was an ambulance at the scene. So
right.
even if they check the box, no injuries, there's going to be a report from an ambulance
sure.
at the scene. So that's going to be taken care of. But about half of the cases that we have where people are injured, the police say that there's no injuries. So it's not unusual. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you don't want to admit to the police officer because they will designate that in your statement, admitted no injuries.
Right.
And so if you're not sure, say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And most people don't know because of the adrenaline.
For sure.
Yeah.
A couple of other quick things here. Time's about out. But, you know, don't sign anything before speaking to an attorney. A lot of times these insurance companies will say, hey, we can just email you over a quick release here. And you sign that thinking that, well, I'll be good with that. And you don't really know your injuries, as we just talked about. You don't really know the coverages that you may have. So, Kevin, you can't do that.
Don't do that. Don't sign that. Don't sign any releases to get medical records mm-hmm. because once you sign those, they're going to go out and get them right away.
Okay.
You lose control of your medical records.
Right.
You don't want to do that. So don't sign anything.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a lawyer right away. Give us a call. But don't sign any documents until you understand really what you're doing.
Yep. And don't let them force you into making a statement before you talk to an attorney because you do not have to do that.
Correct.
And then, boy, the biggest crucial thing is get with an experienced attorney like Kevin Flesch, someone that is willing to take your case to trial if needed and that will help you and guide you. So, Kevin, great information. Again, we thank you for your time and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch. Hey, I always tell you, put his number in your phone, 303-806-8886. Always a free consult. They'll be glad to help you. Hope you don't need them, but when you do, it's great to have that number right there. Thanks for being with us for Legal Talk. For Kevin Flesch, my name is Scott Whatley. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesch and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleschlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleschlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy-down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, $262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16. NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Choosing Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center almost 20 years ago was one of the best decisions we ever made for our pets. Hey, this is Scott Whatley, and I know it's a busy time of the year for all of us, but it's no reason to forget about our pets. Our pets are a part of our family, and they need their checkups and preventative care just as we humans do. Whether a pet is new to the family or has been a family member for many years, regular checkups are the foundation of our pet's overall health. Depending on your pet's age, a preventative care visit will include the basics, such as an exam and vaccinations, diet and weight management, and parasite preventatives. But it could also involve a spay or neuter discussion, microchipping, concerns about house training, or behavior issues. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the medical team will take the time to get to know your pet and address the concerns you have about your pet's care. It's what your pet deserves, and it's good medicine. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, boarding, grooming, behavior training, pet foods, or pet care products, you'll find it at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the place where my pets go. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. And don't forget to visit their website at LoneTreeVet.com.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to go to the phones now, talk to our good friend Dan Johnson, Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Drive east and pay the least on this Thanksgiving Day. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not full yet, but I'm gonna be a little later. Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Well, thank you, and I know what you mean. Boy, it is. It's one of those grazing type of days, right? You just
That's right.
Keep going back, man. Absolutely.
Well, hey, early and in late.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to get with you and see what you had going on for the weekend and all. I mean, I think a lot of times people think of Black Friday, they think of the malls and the TVs and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, how about a new vehicle for yourself here on this Black Friday weekend? So what's happening?
That's right. Well, we're closed today, obviously, but tomorrow we'll be all hands on deck. We got deals on Silverados like we haven't had for 2 years that I can remember. Got quite a bit of money on rebates. If you're a Costco member, that gets you another $1,000. All kinds of good stuff going on. We finally got a stock of some Equinoxes, got a couple of Traverses. So, our stock's growing and the rebates are starting to come. So kind of getting back to normal now. So, Friday, Saturday, towards the end of the month, it'd be a great time.
All right, good deal. And I had a friend buy a Traverse from you and actually drove it down to him and picked up his tray and brought it back. I'm going to tell you, man, that is a nice vehicle.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
That thing
was
super, super nice ride. I'd never even, to be honest, ridden in one. And, man, that was a nice, nice vehicle for sure.
Yeah, they're great. They'll compete with any. And it's, 7 or 8 passenger, too. So, you don't have to go all the way to Tahoe or, Suburban or anything. It's a nice 7, 8 passenger, depending on your seating configuration. And it's not as expensive. And like you say, they just drive great and, pretty good alternative to the full-size SUV and get better gas mileage.
Sure. And I know, might as well talk about it. Rates a little bit and financing certainly have increased along with everything else. And I guess we can just say everybody's going to be different, but there is some decent financing out there. I mean, you deal with a lot of banks, credit unions, so, I don't think anybody will beat you as far as your financing.
No, they won't. I mean, like you say, we do business with almost every credit union and several banks. I can't even count how many. And then GM Financial, they're in the game and, they're supported by GM. So sometimes they'll have some, the 1.9, 2.9, 3.9 type interest rates, which is, pretty good these days because everything else is up around 6%, 7%, 8%, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, it's worth taking a look at our financing as well. A lot of people think, I'll just go to my own bank. But let me tell you, the last few years, that hasn't been the best play. Normally, I'll be able to beat that by, a point or two, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, got, your new vehicles, and you've also got some pre-owned vehicles, and, got a pretty good selection in those as well.
I do. I have a lot of used trucks, a lot of people are looking for used trucks, used SUVs, winter's coming. So these are all checked out, ready to go, good tires. I've serviced them. So all ready to go. And, we can, obviously they're less than the new ones. So, the market's starting to get back to a little bit normal now, which is it's nice to see.
Yeah, no doubt.
There for a while, the used were as much as a new, but that's not the case so much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, Dan Johnson's our guest, General Manager. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, 14500 East Colfax. And, if you're out and about this weekend, get by and see Dan and let him know you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio, and we'd appreciate that. But if you're seriously in the market for a vehicle, get by and see Dan, and I promise you they make it a very relaxing transaction. And, Dan, I've said this for all the years we've been doing this show here. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be stressful. Hey, find a vehicle you like, and I promise you they'll take great care of you. I was actually out of town this last weekend doing a hog hunt with some friends down in Texas, Dan, and one of them was talking about all the negotiations they have to go through with a dealer down there. And I said, do you like doing that? And the guy goes, no. I go, well, why don't you call my guy? And then he'll just, I said, hey, and I always tell her, but if everybody's fair-minded and realize, hey, a trade's a trade. And I got 7 guys that come here from different states. And, and I said, man, I always tell them, check with their dealer, whatever, then call Dan. You don't even have to tell him what you've got. Just on the table there. Just explain what you want. Explain what you've got to trade in, if you've got to trade in and stuff, and just see what happens. And, I said, every time it just works out easy. It's usually just a phone call. And so, man, it just doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah, I don't miss very many of them, Scott.
No, none that I can think of. So,
I don't think I can miss one that I can think of.
Yeah, I know. I mean, exactly. Yeah. So, no, it works out great. Now, you mentioned, man, our weather's going to be changing. Great time to get your cars in for service. I got my oil change over the other day, and boy, you guys, you know, had a lot of folks in there getting service and all. And I just want to mention that because, I mean, to me, it's the one-stop shop, so to speak. I mean, you guys, you know, of course, do a great job in the sale, but then you also do a great job in the service.
Well, we try, and you know, and I would caution the people, check your tires, because that's one of the big things in wintertime that, you know, even if you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, if you don't have good tires, you know, they don't perform very well. And we sell tires, and we have a price match guarantee. So we're, you know, like the quick oil change places, you know, we're price competitive there. And, you know, just like the discount tire places, we're price competitive there as well. And you know, you've said it before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, all they're going to do is throw a set of tires on your car and send you on your way. We're going to crawl under there and make sure nothing's leaking, or, you know, we're going to take a look at the vehicle, you know, even if all we're doing is tires. You know, we're still going to take a look and give you a multi-point inspection and say, here you go, and everything's great. Or hey, you need to come look at this. So, you know, whatever. At least we're taking a look at it for them. And if they need something, we'll tell them. They can do it now, later, whatever they need.
Right. And, again, we hope everyone stays safe and you don't need a body shop. But if you do, hey, Dan also has a great body shop there at Lynn Lyle and deal with most insurance companies out there. And I just want to mention this again because, boy, it seems like I hear this, you know, every year, Dan, you know, from somebody got in an accident. And I mentioned, man, I wish you'd have called me. I got you in over at Lynn Lyle. And they go, well, that wasn't on our insurance company's list. And I just want to tell you, if you get into an accident, you are in control of who fixes your vehicle. Do not let the insurance company push you in a direction of, quote, their approved body shop, because that is not true.
That's absolutely not true. And it's kind of letting the fox in the hen house a little bit, because they make some deals together and use aftermarket parts and do some things, you know, cut every corner they can to help the insurance company. They're not necessarily your best friend. I'm not going to say they're doing shoddy work or anything, but, you know, it's better to just keep everything on an even playing field and not, you know, you don't want the deck stacked against you. So, you know, at least give us a shot.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Dan, hey, man, I hope you have a great day there and enjoy your Thanksgiving, and hopefully we can get some folks over here to come see you this weekend. And, again, folks, this is a great, great dealership, super people to deal with and to work with. And so, hey, if you're in the market for a vehicle, get by and see them. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, 14500 East Colfax. And, again, let them know you heard them here on KLZ 560, and we appreciate that. So, Dan, happy Thanksgiving, sir, and we will see you soon.
All right, and to you as well. Come on out and see us this weekend.
All right, sure will, bud. All right, that's Dan Johnson, Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous. You have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store. From live bait to lanterns, firearms to ammo, packs to sleeping bags, all the fishing gear you could ever hope for. And if you need some decoys for the waterfowl season, stop into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley here again for my friends at the Outdoorsman's Attic, and they've got hunting, fishing, and camping gear with huge savings up to 70%. You'll find new and pre-owned items to choose from, and since the inventory changes daily, hey, this is a store you need to stop in at least a couple of times a week. Reviews,
Here's what a few of their customers have said. Cody says, hey, two floors of pure outdoorsman paradise. Mickey said, I love this place. Great small business, family owned and run, lots to look at and good prices. Amy says, if you need good camping and outdoor gear, go here first. Support a local small business. Such great finds. Everyone is so nice and helpful. So save big. Get to the Outdoorsman's Attic today on all of your outdoor gear. 2650 West Hampden Avenue in Sheridan. Tell them Scott sent you. Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Again, thank you so much for being with us once again. Just want to wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a very, very safe holiday season here. And Merry Christmas. Man, it's hard even to hear all the Christmas songs already, but we are looking forward to our Thanksgiving as well, and certainly want to wish everyone, again, just a very, very happy Thanksgiving with their family. Never take that for granted, I'm telling you. As most of you know, listen to the show, I lost my dad this year, and first Thanksgiving without him, and I'm telling you, you kind of look back at all the years, you just always think that those folks are going to be there, and your relatives and friends, so just never take that for granted and enjoy this holiday. So, glad to have Ron Resch with us. It is Big Horn Firearms, and great, great store, and very knowledgeable staff, and great selection of firearms. Ryan, good to see you.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me back.
Now, just so you know, we're not making Ryan be here on Thanksgiving Day, okay? We are pre-recording this a day early, so Ryan can be with his family, too. I had somebody actually ask me, are you going to make people come in and talk? And I was like, no. They wouldn't do that either way. So, it's been a fast year, hasn't it? You look from January to now, man. We were kind of talking before the show, man. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to believe we're back here again already in the holiday season.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it. I got a couple little guys at home and got a lot to be thankful for. So, you know, it's get a little bit of downtime with the family, sure. You know, watch the joy on the faces of these little kids opening up presents and thinking about Santa Claus coming down the chimney and all that fun stuff. So I love it. I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, well,
so, I mean, who isn't, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, and what makes a good gift? How about a firearm? That'll work.
That's a great gift.
And, hey, gift cards, too, also at Bighorn Firearms. So, Ryan, you got a few specials going on, so kind of tell us what's going on here for Black Friday and the weekend.
Yeah, so Friday and Saturday we're just going to be doing a sale. You can call it Black Friday if you like. We're a small business. If you want to beat the crowds at the big box stores or after you get done fighting for cheap TVs or whatever it may be that you're throwing elbows for, come see us, come hang out in a nice, casual, relaxed environment, and we'll get you set up with some good deals on sporting shotguns and ammo. We're doing a 10% off deal on those.
Okay.
Anything in stock or special order, as long as it classifies in that sporting category.
Right.
We'll do 10% off Glocks, and that's going to be all your most popular models. We've got stock on those right now, and you know, some of them in duplicate and triplicate, so we've got plenty to go around on those. 10% off, so on average you're going to be saving $50 to $60 on those.
And which, you know, we have to say, on a new gun, I mean, there's not a lot of margin on new guns, okay? So when you do 10% off, I mean, that's a good deal.
I mean you're supporting local business, you're getting a lot of service with this purchase.
Sure,
it's not like buying from like the cheap online wholesaler or something like that, you know. And I've seen a lot of those deals go bad, but you know, we're here for you all the time,
right?
5 days a week at the shop during normal business hours. Come in, say hi, you know, have some, if you got some questions, or even if you are thinking about buying online but you want to talk to somebody about it first, come in and see us, you know, and maybe we can convince you that we're the place to be. So,
and to me, it's worth that local customer service, too, because like you say, you get a gun, and you've probably opened some out of boxes that have come in for different things, and something's, you know, might need something. And then, hey, you might send it back to the manufacturer for them, but don't be that guy or gal that tries to save $50 by not doing business with you and then wants you to do all the service, right?
Yeah, I mean, come see us. We'll make it worth it for you, always. We've got a great group of guys that are all super knowledgeable.
They love what they do. They're happy to educate and make you feel welcome. You know, that's it's a big deal. You know, it's the industry's kind of had, like, you know, any specialty type thing where it just, you kind of get that stigma of like, hey, these guys are super into this stuff and they know about it, so they come off with a bad attitude when people come in with the newbie questions, mm-hmm. you know. But it's like, I remember, you know, buying my first gun and going into, you know, gun shops when I was pretty new to this whole thing, and sure. you know, I had some good interactions, I had some bad ones, but it's always kind of intimidating, you know, mm-hmm. and we're trying to just kind of take that stigma away from the whole thing, right. So you know, come in, see us Friday, Saturday. We got some good deals. I'm hoping to get the Christmas lights up tonight before we close, so we're ready to rock and roll on Friday and Saturday and have it be a little festive in there. Everybody's going to be in a great mood, you know, and we're going to have a good time and get you some good deals. Also, running a special right now. We've got available seats for this weekend and next weekend for concealed carry class. We're going to be doing $50 off the normal $125. So okay. $75 gets you in that class. It does include your range time and all that. And it's a really good class taught by Marcus. You can reach out to him directly, marcus@bighornfirearms.com. Or call the shop. We can do it over the phone, or just come on in and we get you signed up in there, and then you can meet Marcus and kind of get familiar with him and where you'll be going for the class.
That's a great savings right there. I mean, $50 off. Yeah. So that's a good deal.
One other great holiday gift idea while we're getting after it here is customizing your gifts with laser engraving done by the gunsmith. He does have a laser engraver, so you can get real creative and you can personalize an item. You can bring in the item. It could be an item you purchase in the store. Quick turnaround times on that. So, you know, doing a personalized gift, I know that's a plan of mine this year, is to get some personalized gift for some good friends, maybe some employees. Right. I don't want to spoil any surprises, but Sean will be doing all that work for me.
So. All right, you spell my last name, Whatley.
Correct.
Okay, don't misspell that when you engrave it.
I got it. We're going to make it official and have the last name on there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Once again, it's Bighorn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine Street, 303-758-9423 is the number. And bighornfirearms.com. Now, you guys do a great job, and people have collections, and maybe, you know, I've seen a lot of people just saying, hey, it's finally time to sell these. So kind of take a minute and just tell us what you do there.
So best first steps for that are call the shop, ask for me or Dan. They'll be your go-to guys. So ask for Ryan or Dan, and give us a call. Let us kind of know what you got. Introduce yourself over the phone, or just come out on in. That's always a good option too. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can also email photos and a list of the items that you're looking to sell to myself or Dan, and that's just Dan@BighornFirearms or Ryan@BighornFirearms.com. You know, and we can do, there's a number of different things we can do. I mean, the first step is to kind of evaluate the items that you have and figure out what kind of condition they're in. Are they working? What kind of work they might need if they're not? And then we can either do an outright purchase of those items, or we can talk about consignment as an option as well, which I think is a great option. You know, at the end of the day, it just, the difference of what we pay on just a straight out cash buy or consignment, it's not a huge difference. Okay. You might be looking at, you know, in some cases as little as 10%. And, you know, sometimes cash now is a big deal versus waiting on consignment.
Sure.
Consignment items, we typically will list those online on gunbroker.com. It's a great place to display your used and collectible guns.
Mm-hmm.
Really huge audience there. We move guns very quickly there. We have a lot of experience building the listings. We put a lot of effort and time into those listings, and we do realize, you know, really great premiums for items there as well. So those premiums tend to eat up some of that consignment fee too. So that is a good option if you're not in a hurry to sell the items. We are kind of selective on what we're taking on consignment, but we're always open to having that conversation.
Sure.
And a lot of times we find that that's the best course for both parties to end up where they want to be on the items. So.
Mm-hmm. Ammunition, are we starting to see that free up a lot more, or is there still some things hard to get?
There is definitely still some hard to get stuff. If you're particular about certain hunting ammunition, you know, you need to start searching for that stuff well in advance, or you need to re-zero your scope, or you know, repattern your shotgun. You know, revolver cartridges are still pretty tough, and you know, but your standard semi-auto calibers are pretty well in stock and available, and prices have come down. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, you can find some really great deals online for ammo, but you gotta buy in bulk to make it worth it. So if you're just the type of guy who buys a box or two a week to go to the range, you know, buying local is still the way to go. You know, they tend to get you with the freight and stuff on the online orders. So if you're only ordering a couple boxes there, it's going to eat up your discount on your freight cost. Sure. So you might as well support local business on that as well.
Absolutely. Once again, Ryan Resch is with us. It is Bighorn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine Street here in Denver, 303-758-9423. You know, one thing that I always love about coming in is you got a huge variety. I mean, you know, you got some ARs, you got your shotguns, you got some old Winchester. I mean, you've got got military stuff. You've got quite the array.
Yeah, you know, they're all cool.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
It's just, they're guns. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, even if it's something you're not into, you can probably at least look at it and appreciate it for a little bit, you know, and find some enjoyment in just looking. So. I mean, they're guns are art, you know. Even the modern stuff, you know, if you got that eye, you know, you can like see it kind of all decked out with all the pieces and parts and things like that, and you know, you can get real creative with it on the modern stuff. You know, the fine hunting shotguns, the collectibles. I mean, the history of firearms is unbelievable. You know, there's a lot to look at, and we do have a little bit of everything in there, and that's something that I've always, you know, been keen on is just keeping a good variety and having something for everybody that walks through the door.
You ever been up to the Cody Firearm Museum?
I have.
That is really cool.
That was
we actually had the curator there, Ashley, that used to be the curator there, and she came on, and man, she knew everything about every gun.
She's pretty smart.
Yeah, she really is.
She knows a lot. I follow her on, you know, Instagram, and I've run into her at some of these conventions and stuff. She definitely knows her stuff. It's pretty impressive. I feel like I got a lot to learn still.
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. So. It was cool. Well, once again, get by and see Ryan and his crew there. Again, just a super great bunch of folks that work there, and they'll get you fixed up. If you've got questions, you know, always let us know, and we will get those to Ryan, or just give them a call at 303-758-9423. It is bighornfirearms.com. And so Friday and Saturday hours are?
So Friday we are 11 to 6, and Saturday 10 to 5. We'll be just running normal business hours.
Okay,
these days,
good deal. And don't forget the gift cards. Hey, that's a good thing to get there as well. And once again, from I know Ryan and Bighorn Firearms, and here on our show, we want to wish everybody a very, very happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday. So just everyone be safe out there. So Ryan, as always, thank you for your time. We'll look forward to our visit next time.
Thanks, Scott. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.